Good morning. Today is Wednesday, August the 10th, 223rd day of the new year. Joining us this morning.
Hailing from the first district.
No. I was
now in the gates.
I was trying to think something about the fifth grade reference.
Oh, there you go.
Possibly smarter than a fifth grader, Rex Bone.
Possibly. We're going to find out, actually. Yeah.
Got a couple different things we'll be talking about this morning. The new activities out at new. Well, I guess, yeah, new activities.
Cause yep, new.
It's the playground will be played, and then we've got the county fair coming up, too. But before we do that, our quote this morning. Let's see if we can find something that's pretty simple. J.R. Slider, quote, "Political solutions work as long as the situation is hopeless."
Boy, does that ring true.
Yeah, yeah. A little pregnant pause there.
Yeah,
this
there
is
you go.
Second week of vacation. Or are you guys off this week or are you back on?
No, we got back on.
Back on.
Okay. Had a meeting yesterday.
So you're warming up the chair again.
I kind of missed that vacation part. I kind of stayed and worked and had quite a few things going on.
You know, that's the one thing that Cowboy used to almost always insist upon is that they would go to Wyoming, and that was it. It was locked down. They were going for the Cheyenne Rodeo,
yep,
and they were going up for the Stampede.
Yep.
That was it. And you know, even if you had a meeting, I doubt if Mr. Rodoni would have been there.
Well, you can actually, and you talk to my fellow supervisors. This is a 7-day-a-week job. I mean,
like you own a business.
We have exactly. We have social events. We have things that pertain to our community, fundraisers that pertain to our community. I go a little farther outside the box. I had this last weekend had a Mule Deer Foundation dinner I auctioned, very successful, and on Friday helped put a golf tournament together for the RCAA Youth Services Bureau. Sponsored by Bear River Casino and Hotel for a solid ground, building a foster care transitional house. So a lot of things going on.
A lot of neat stuff going on. You guys, you've got a new playground out on the Redwood Fields.
Huh? We were pretty fortunate. Kiwanis came to us for their 100th year anniversary. They've been building playgrounds all across the country in their regions where they have clubs. And my playground out the ball fields is 18 years old, and we rebuilt it, replaced parts about 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and we're told there would be no more replacement parts. So we were able to reuse it at a much less intense area. Basically, it's going to one of the local KOA campgrounds, and with the help of Kiwanis, and then Redwood Fields was about 30%, 70% of the monies came from Kiwanis. They put together a volunteer crew this last weekend, and we have a brand new play structure that should be opening by tomorrow. We should be all done with the chips today, and it'll be available for kids to play on tomorrow. And it's a little more modern, a little more interactive, and should be a lot of fun.
It's interesting when you get those facilities in, the excitement that it generates, isn't it?
Well, and what we did when we built Redwood Fields, we started it 24 years ago, and it's been open 17 years, is we made a commitment to the community that we would provide a play area for the kids in the area. And we have no public playground in the Cutton area. And so that's got barbecue pits, bocce courts, two basketball courts, so... And they're open to the public during daylight hours.
So when the gates open,
when the
so
gates open,
the playground.
Yep.
Yeah.
There you go.
KINS News and Information Time. Don't go there now. Listen to the show, then go play. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:20. 23. We're back talking shop this morning with Rex Bone, Humboldt County Supervisor. See, at least I got the title in there once.
There you go.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and you know, as far as the playground, we had a couple days, two of the days, we had some guys from the Humboldt Bay Fire come out and help. We had some help from Redwood Teen Challenge. We had help from Eureka Junior League Football and Humboldt Youth Soccer, who both utilized the fields.
That's what I was saying. Redwood Fields now is not baseball. It's not just kids.
It's
all kinds of different things.
It's still basically a kids' facility. It's you've got to be, you know, 19 and under is in the bylaws, unless the board approves a special event. Because the last couple of years we've allowed the Spamly Cup out there, which is, and they raise $8,000 or $9,000, I think, for CASA, and it's one of those events. They come in, put it on, and they leave the place nicer than when they came, and they do a great job, and they bring in, a you know, 300 or 400 people. And we've done a couple Rotary baseball tournaments out there. The Rotaract Club has put some baseball tournaments on out there every
year.
Could
it be used for softball, some of the softball tournaments?
They've used it for, well, not as much for a softball. They've used it, the Rotaract, because it's not real competitive. Because we have, for one thing, we have grass infields. The other thing, we have a mound in the middle. You know, so there's a few things that throw that off.
That's right. That's different for softball,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, but they're able to use it for the Rotaract because it's kind of a relaxed more of a fun thing where all the clubs get to play each other. So, and we're able to let them use the facility, and they've got a snack bar and restroom. So that's, but mainly it's a youth facility, and that's what we built it as, and that's why we left the playground. You know, we updated the playground area, but I know you have utilized the basketball courts many a times.
Is the parking lot large enough? Was that the one thing you kind of went, whoops, and didn't anticipate?
Nah, but the parking lot holds about 140 cars. But the other thing it has, for the overage days, we have enough room around the outside. We can open the side gates and put parking out there. Doesn't seem like it, and it won't seem like it on soccer days because we have 12 fields. Well, we have 6 fields. So you got to remember, we have 12 teams playing, and we have 12 teams coming in to play, and we have 12 teams leaving. So we do run into an overflow on Saturdays for soccer, but the neighbors have been very gracious, and the people have been very gracious about not blocking the driveway. So that might have been the one thing, but I would rather had one more field than parking for, you know, 12 days a year. So we've been pretty fortunate on that.
What's the future going to be like out there? What do you think it's going to be in, say, 10 years? Will it just continue to be utilized the way
that it is? Some other idiot running it, I hope.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, at some point, yeah.
Well, we're fortunate because we were able to secure a couple contracts for cellular towers out there. And so they've been able to provide good coverage and for safety personnel coverage out there for the community. And it provides a good stream of income that covers around 60% of our maintenance. So what that allows us to do is not charge the leagues as much money as they'd normally have to pay if they had to rent a full facility, because we're able to cover it with the sale rent. And so they're able to use their money on uniforms, safety equipment, better equipment for the kids, goals, and for baseball, gloves, you know, catchers. You know, they're able to use it for the program they're supposed to, and that's to administer a safe program for the kids.
One of the things I think that a lot of folks will either overlook or they'll put an awful lot of emphasis on is the concession stand. Is the concession stand there adequate? Do you have people saying, what about, why not, can we add this, can we do
that? Redwood Empire Little League, who plays all their games out there, that's their base, they do a wonderful job on their concession stand, and they make a lot of money off it. A lot of people, we have neighbors come down to get a hamburger and watch a game. They come down a couple days a week, and they I'm gonna watch a game, have a hamburger, french fries, or whatever, you know, they have pizza, they've got a little bit of everything. Humboldt Youth Soccer does really well, and Eureka Junior League Football, if they have 3 or 4 games, they start out with breakfast at the early game, and they go all the way to, you know. So it is done very well. And when we built it, we, you know, it's a lot of stainless steel, a lot of clean surfaces. So it's made to clean quickly, but it's also got big wide windows. It's centrally located, so it's easy to access. And that's the biggest thing is like for baseball, it's easy to access. And it's right by the front gate, so we get them coming and going.
Would you like more tournaments there during the summertime and during some of the off weekends? Is that kind of an underutilized resource in the area?
We play baseball with the Legion facility going on and everything else. We play baseball right into the middle of July, And then we've got about 4 weeks off, and it allows us to do a little bit of maintenance on the fields and stuff. And then the 15th of August, we have 40 soccer teams playing. You know, we've got probably 20 practices every night and then games on the weekends. So they play games on Saturdays, and then football comes in and utilizes it for Sunday games. So it is, we average between anywhere between 500 and 700 games a year out there. So it's, when we built it, I had no idea it would be this busy. And I had no idea it took this much work to, and we've got a great board. I've got a great bunch of volunteers that I get all the phone calls, but I usually ask somebody else to do the work and it gets done. So, I mean, we had over 60 volunteers this Saturday out there putting the playground together. You know, we put the basics up on Friday, got everything started with a small group of volunteers, and then we just had them come out of the woodworks. I think we had four different, it was a Kiwanis project. I think we had four different Kiwanis clubs represented because it was a combined effort by all of them. So it was a great community event for the kids.
Would you like to have an all-weather field? Or does that bring on a whole different kind of dynamic?
I would, because right now I'm fighting my sprinkler system. I've got some problems with my, and I'm getting crop rings. I'm, you know, it's $2,000 a month, the water, and it's a dingy brownish green, you know. Yeah, I would. I just don't know. The maintenance, there's two things. The maintenance is over the top. The maintenance isn't bad, but the replacement costs are over the top. And the initial inlay would probably be close to $600,000.
For one field?
Huh?
For one field, not for all of
no,
them?
No, not for, yeah, for one field. If you did it all. I've actually looked at doing just the infields because that's a big maintenance area, and I thought maybe if we just did the infields. But the other thing is I'm kind of a purist. It's made to play on grass.
Yeah, I understand. Can you be a purist and a soccer fan at the same time? Something to consider. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Rex Bone. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by REDEC. Rex, the county fair is something that is, I guess all county fairs to a certain extent, are reflective of the community, which is probably why they continue to exist. It's not a moneymaker, certainly. It's more of a social, but an opportunity for camaraderie, I guess.
It's some people don't see each other. Ferndale's a perfect case in point. They plan most of their class reunions around fair weekend, and they come spend the day at the fair. They have their reunion that night. That's just always the, you know, being married to a Ferndale girl. I know that, but I mean, and they have it that weekend, and that's their coming home weekend. And we've got, you know, Richard Conway and the board of directors at the Humboldt County Fair have overcome some pretty tough times. And have really stepped it up and had some big numbers. They actually make a little bit of money there with their horse racing, and with the horse racing cut back and only able to have so many dates because of the, you know, the big boys down south and stuff. They put 6 full pack days of racing into our fair this year. Sponsorships are up, so they're doing a real great job, and you'll see the economic impact when all those people hit town.
Yeah. Like the guys that do the shuttle, because you can't park within three miles.
Well, actually, what you should do, Brian, is park where you got to park, and then do a little bit of a walking so you can hit those corn dogs and cotton candy with Zelle.
Do you like cotton candy?
No.
I've had it twice. I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
I know a lot of kids like playing with it. Yeah. The goo, and it just...
It looks good.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of things that look good until you get too close. prawn a fish, for example.
Get me a good corn dog, and I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, yeah, particularly some of those long ones that they've got.
Yeah, no, yeah, they've taken it to it. But they've got some great events. The barbecue contest this year, the Ace Hardware stores, you know, Jack Rickey and Jerry King have stepped up, and Ace is coming in, and they've put a big sponsorship into the barbecue contest on the, I think it's Wednesday the 24th. Guy Fieri is going to be here again sponsoring it. I'll be there helping with the emceeing and the judging, I think.
It was a package deal, wasn't it?
I'm surely going to be snacking, that's for sure. Yeah. But, I mean, last year I think they had 22 or 24 participants, and they expect to have over 35 because there's some, the prizes are getting better. I think Jack's put some money up, and Jerry and the Ace Hardwares, and I believe the barbecues, they're going to give away some barbecues as prizes too. So it's actually going to be a pretty good competition. It's a fun day getting all these guys out there, and there's, you know, there's pork, beef, fish. So that's a fun day, and it's good to see Guy come home and, you know, put a little bit back into our local community. It's always fun to see him.
Well, last Monday, Gary Eagles was on. We were talking a little bit about the connections and stuff. And, you know, it's really easy, I think, for some of the celebrity types to forget. And that's one thing, whether you watch his programs or not, he comes back.
He still owns a house in Ferndale.
Still part of the community. I mean, he's not living here full-time, obviously, but he's still part of the community and doing stuff to support. And what more can you ask for from anybody?
Well, my wife happened to work for his parents for 10 years, Jim and Penny. And so she actually got to see him grow up, help teach him how to drive with her Camaro and stuff. So we've got a little bit of connection. And he's actually just, he's got a lot of friends still here. And he remembers the pretzel cart. And everybody, it's nice when people remember their start. And I think when you see that portrayed, I think it's nice. I mean, and you know. And you're right, whether you like him or not, whether you like his show or not or anything else, he hasn't forgot where he came from.
Yeah, that stuff is cool. So when you're engaged with some of the different activities that are out there, what do you see as the thing that is most overlooked by those in attendance?
I think the amount of effort it goes to put one on and keep it going all day. I mean, staff starts early in the morning and works till late at night, and they run with a limited staff. Richard's got some people in the office. They step up the staff a little bit around fair time and stuff. But most of the time, he's got, you know, a time and a half person or two time people, you know, working, and they work their tail off because, I mean, they have a lot of interim events year-round. It's a very large facility. It's different from Redwood Acres Fair because Redwood Acres Fair is owned by the state. The county actually owns the fairgrounds, and we lease it for a dollar or for nothing as long as they keep on putting on events to the fair board. So we hopefully they keep up the maintenance and stuff, and they've done a great job on putting money back into it.
Does the county support it, or is it a budget item?
It's not supported financially. About 6-8 years ago, maybe it's been longer than that, 10 years ago, they had a little bump, and I know the we gave them a loan of $80,000 and forgave it. I remember when that happened. Because I was on the fair board in Eureka when it happened, and you know, and it wasn't available to us because it's a county fair, and where it's a ninth district ag thing. But I really like the last few years what they've done with the theme. I mean, you know, they've done the bounty of the county. You know, they did the agricultural, they did the coastal, you know, our seaport heritage and stuff like this. And this year they're doing education, and it's going to be based on a lot of the kids' education thing. And you mentioned the fact with Gary Eagles and stuff. I think we're actually having smarter than a fifth grade, as you led into earlier, and I guess I'm going to be the
standard bearer.
Yeah, I'm going to get to be embarrassed by a bunch of fifth graders, it sounds like. So they've asked me to do that, and I'm looking forward to that because anything for the kids, it's a fun time.
Well, one of the apps I have on the phone I have is the moron test. It's surprising how stupid I really am. Oh, I don't even get to the second level. I mean, it's just a point of frustration. Every once in a while, I'll go and play and try to remember how to get. But it's really cool because the kids get a chance to kind of strut their stuff a little bit. And it's not just an ag fair. It's more. It's
well,
a county fair.
It's got a lot of stuff. And then, and you know, to top it off, we do have the ag show and auction for the 4-H and FFA kids, and these are the best kids in the world. I mean, these are kids that they're committed to raising their animals, and they get an opportunity to show them. They get to do showmanship. You know, they get to see. They even judge how clean their pens are. You know, the clubs and stuff like that. And they stay at the fair, and it's just a good. The 4-H and FFA kids, we're putting some good kids through this program.
Have you ever been a judge or been an auctioneer for
Oh yeah, I've been an auctioneer, but I've bought a lot of animals. I have bought a lot of animals. What I'll do is, if somebody wants to buy an animal and they can't make it to the fair, I'll represent them and buy an animal from somebody. You know, so they get it. And the kids come by and see, and it's a great thing. So
what happens, you know, if somebody's unfamiliar with that, what happens? I mean, if you don't want to come home as a pet, happens after the purchase?
When you buy the animal, they'll come and they'll ask you how you want it, where you want it cut and wrapped, and there's options, you know, firm bred, you know, Redwood Meat's always been great and stuff like that. And then you ask them, do you want it wrapped in packages for, you know, family of four, family of two, how you want it cut up, and they ask you all that information. They'll call you, the slaughterhouse will call you and set it all up. You're basically, you know, putting back into the community and putting something in your freezer at the same time.
Back to that corn dog again. KINS. Can you cut them in corn dog shape? KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Rex Bohm.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Back final couple minutes this morning with Rex Bohm. Rex, if somebody hasn't been to the county fair, you know, either they're new to the community or they just haven't for whatever reason, it's a little bit later this year. What should they expect?
Good home Americana country fair. I mean, they've got some local acts coming. They've got some acts coming that, you know, go to the website and it'll tell you every day what's going on out at the fair. They've done real good at that. They've changed their food wagons around. They're all kind of in a circle around the middle, and that's great. And I mean, they got gator burgers. They've got all sorts of exotics, but they've got the corn dogs, the curly fries, and, you know, the normal stuff.
Cinnamon rolls.
They got the cinnamon rolls. The people that make the fresh pies come up. They've got a lot of different, I mean, the food, then the judging, the art judging is great. The pastries, you know, or the preserves and baking, they still have that.
One side of that building, quilts.
Yeah,
focused in on the pies.
Well, no, after I eat, I got to wipe my hands off. So you head over to the quilts. But no, and the quilts, I mean, we've got some fantastic, it's kind of funny. I've done the quilt auction in the past for the Quilts Association. And you've got some talent there that's completely over the top, you know, the sewing and the quilting. And we have a lot of talented, wonderful people in Humboldt County. But yeah, basically, there's memories to be made at the county fair. My first memory of the county fair, I started going, I think, when I was 8 or 9 years old. My neighbor, Jack Retzloff, would take us to the fair. Jack was a well-known parlayer of horse betting.
Yes, and he knew how to make a right-hand turn into the grandstand.
Went on later to own his own horses and ran in a couple big stakes races and stuff like that. But he was probably, you know, you have that bigger-than-life person in your life when you grow up? Jack Retzloff was that guy.
He was your guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully you'll spend a little bit more time and see a little bit more than just the grandstands, because there certainly is plenty of stuff going on out there.
They've got a great fair going together, and for the people that can't afford to take their whole family out of town, this is a wonderful staycation to spend a day at the fair.
Well, and the kid days and stuff like that.
Kid days offsets,
help keep it down too. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Always good. Thank you, Ryan.
Have fun. We've been talking shop with Rex Bohm. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.